The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
A little different for us, but I thought it would be very contemporary to bring this thought to you. It's can you read that okay? It fades out a little bit in the lights, but it says, what happens when churches merge? What happens when churches merge? And for a text, let's look at Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Okay. Trying to get the light man back there to kill a platform light for a minute. There we go. He's got it. That's a little better. I can see it perfectly on this beautiful flat screen TV I'm looking at here. So, but we'll get to that. We're working. Don't turn out all the lights because people will go to sleep, all right? So leave some lights on. Okay, Book of Acts. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I'll get it right. I got my tongue all tangled up or something. I don't know. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So we ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We bow before your throne of grace. We're excited about you and what you're doing. But Lord God, we are needy people. And we need your divine revelation in our lives. And Father, true revelation comes from the truth. And you are the truth. And you are the Word of God. And as we study your Word, I pray that there'd be an enlightenment in our spirit. That our spirit might grow. That we might understand you in a clearer way. And perceive. Spiritually perceive your divine plan for each of us individually and then us collectively as a body of believers. We thank you, Father, for what you're saying to us, the church, this day. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Actually, the first merger of a church took place in this passage of Scripture. Let me give you a little bit of background. Did you know that there was an Italian band leader in the Bible? It was Cornelius, the leader of the Italian band. All right? Cornelius was trying to serve God in a Gentile sort of way. Not gentle, but Gentile sort of way. And God was speaking to Peter about the admission of the Gentiles into the church. And what was going on. And God put these guys together in a meeting. And it divinely put it together. And what began then was the first merger of the New Testament church, where we took Judaism and began to merge it with the Gentile world and the Gentile people. I want you to know that it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. In fact, it was really, really difficult because people had a preconceived notion of what the church was going to be. They had a little bit of light. Jesus has taught them for 3 years. We had the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell. And there was this building of the New Testament church. Now, when you build something, we usually build things based on a preconceived notion of what we already know. If we're going to build a house, we build it on things that we already know. We go look around and we see what we like and we start building it that way. Anytime you start to build any part of your life, you have dreams and ideas and concepts of what you think your life should be. That's one of the problems we have when we start talking about where God wants to bring us. Cherie spoke about that as in her testimony a little earlier. We kind of know where we're going, but what we don't like is the process. We don't like the way it's going to happen. You've all heard that expression that, you know, it's great to eat sausage. It's just not any fun to watch it being made. You know, nobody wants to watch you make sausage. Just want, if you ever seen it made, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a very pretty thing. But boy, you put that baby in a frying pan and fry it up. I mean, it is good stuff. I mean, we really like it. Well, it's kind of the same way with the church as they perceived it to be. They thought it was going to be a Judaism kicked up a notch. You know, that's kind of what they had perceived it to be. But as we all know, God had another plan. Now, the ones that were involved in this was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading this. He led Cornelius to Peter. He led Peter to Cornelius. Peter had a dream, and he saw unclean food, food that was unclean for Jews to eat. And the Lord says, kill and eat. And he said, no. I wouldn't do that because it's not right for me as a Jew to eat that. And the Lord spoke to him and said, what I've made clean, don't you call unclean, all right? So there was a learning process for Peter. Cornelius, on the other hand, had come out of a Gentile environment, and he was being brought into the church, into where Jewish people were and their traditions and their way of doing things, and it was really a big issue. Now, the big issue is this, primarily. When we read the Scriptures, we don't always read them with the emotion that's in the Scriptures. For instance, when you read the word, the Jews are the circumcised and the Gentiles were the uncircumcised. Well, when they said uncircumcised, they didn't say it that way. It was almost a curse word. The uncircumcised. You know, the unclean people. How in the world were they ever going to get into the promises of God? I mean, that was just an impossible thought for the Jewish people. So they believed and they thought, the Jews thought, that they were following the truth. And they had a measure of truth, but they didn't have the whole truth. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We have a measure of truth, but we don't have the whole truth. And what we need to do is search for God to give us the entire truth. The Gentiles, they were aliens from the promises of God. Paul wrote that, I believe it was in Ephesians. He says, at one time, you two were strangers, you were foreigners, you were not part of the promises of God. You were in the world without God and without hope. That's the way that he described them. So now we've got these two completely different entities that there's no way to put them together. Except, that's what God wanted to do. When God wants to do something, how many of you know God gets a job done? All right, he is able to do the impossible. The things that you think could never come to pass, those are the things that God just rubs his hands together and said, oh boy, they're going to love this one. You know, when they see this unfold before their eyes, these two people could not have been further apart in what they believed. They were eons apart. They were centuries apart. They had been, you know, brought up. You know, the Gentiles believed the Jews were a bunch of kooks. They were crazy people. They were laying there killing animals and doing stuff down at the temple. Who are these people? Walked around with little things hanging over their heads with scriptures in it. And they wore funny clothes and they talked funny. And, you know, they didn't eat good food. They wouldn't even have a good, pork sandwich. I mean, they were weird people. And then the Jews, they had been taught that these Gentiles were unclean. Don't even go in their house. Don't even talk to them. If you see them coming down the street, get on the other side of the street. And God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put these two together and make something new out of what already exists. He had a plan. And what I want us to do today, I want us to look at and examine the things that happen when God merges a church together, all right? And I want us to, first of all, look at God picks unlikely relationships. He picks unlikely relationships. And I just think this is funny. We're going to have a good time today, all right? I decided we're going to have fun. Happy is the man who fears the Lord. That's what Scripture says. We're going to be happy today. The circumcised believers, the scripture in Acts chapter 10, verse 45, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Let me put this in contemporary terms for you. Let's say there was a mosque down the street. We got, you know, by the way, this is getting to be Church Street, all right? But let's say we had a mosque down the street, and we just got word. Somebody comes running in here and says, the Holy Spirit just fell on the mosque, and all the guys practicing Islam, has suddenly got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they're speaking in other tongues. You know what we'd say? They got the devil. That's what we would say. And that's exactly what these people thought. They were astonished that such a thing could happen, that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on these unclean, uncircumcised, unbelieving exiles from Judaism, these Gentiles. And God was putting it together. The Jews have been taught to stay away from these people. They were not to be associated with them. You know, it's hard for us to conceive this sometimes, but it was so alien for them. It was a group of people that, you know, in the South down here, we had segregation. It was an abomination to the Lord. And we had that where people couldn't go someplace just because of the color of their skin. You know, aren't you glad we're over that? Yeah. You know, we're going to get over it some more. You know, we're going to do things the right way. But it was worse than that. It was worse than that. So God had an unlikely bunch to put together. The Gentiles had no part in Judaism. They didn't know the law. They didn't know the ropes. They didn't know the rules. They didn't know what to do. If you'd have brought them into the temple area, into Judaism, they wouldn't have known what to do. You ever go into a place and don't know what to do? You know, people come into this church sometimes. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's acceptable. They don't know whether they should shout or be quiet or sit or stand or whatever. You know, it takes a while to learn the ropes of what's going on. They had no idea what to do. The Gentiles could never be Jews, and the Jews could never be Gentiles. That's what they believed. That was in their heart. That was in their life. That's the way they grew up. But God was about to create a new people, the church of the living God, where they'd be not under the law, and they would not be under lawlessness. Now, it's real easy for me to say that, you know, here I am in the year 2008, and say, well, you're not going to be under the law anymore. That's like saying, we just burned the Constitution. There is no more Constitution. No more Supreme Court. We might say amen to that on some of the things they've done, you know. But, you know, all the rules, all the regulations, all the things that we know suddenly don't apply anymore. When you drive down the street, you don't stop at red lights, you stop at green lights. You know, you go through the red lights. Some of you already do that. You know, the speed limit is not the speed limit, it's the minimum speed. You know, you see 75 on the interstate, that means that's the minimum you get to go. You know, instead of driving on the right-hand side of the road, we drive on the left-hand side of the road now. We think we're in England. You know, everything has changed. God was bringing around something new. I want you to know, when God brings around something new, it is not like what you would think that it should be. If God had consulted with Adam about the creation of Eve, we'd have had Adam and Steve. He'd have wanted a buddy because he never knew what Eve could be like. He had no idea how nice that would be. You know, he had a preconceived idea of what someone else would be. And when the church came around, they had a preconceived idea of what the church would be. The church of the living God is still misunderstood today. People have misconceptions about what it is and about what God wants to do. God created a new people, not under the law and not under lawlessness. By the way, some of you haven't learned this yet, but I'm going to keep repeating it. You're going to finally figure out that I'm right about this. We are not under the law. We're under grace. This is a new era. The law ended. Go read in Galatians and then read in Romans where it says when the law was added until such time as the seed, Jesus Christ, came, and then it ended. We're not under the law. We don't have to keep the law anymore. But that doesn't mean that it's all right for you to go out and steal and kill and murder and rob and, you know, disobey your parents and all those things. Those things were before the law. The law just said, if you do these things and they got two witnesses against you, they take you out and kill you. I love in Ephesians, one of my favorite passages of scripture for children. You know, children, obey your parents and it might be well with you. It is the part I like, that you might live long on the earth. You know, you mess up, your parents take you out and stone you. You know? Y'all probably saw a news report this week talking about some teenage boys that, just rebellious and a single mom trying to raise them, and they won't behave themselves. And they arrested the lady, you know, of these boys who were just so bad. You know, if it had been under the law, she would have went and got some of the priests and said, look, these boys are out of control, and the whole neighborhood knows about it. He said, let's get the rocks. You know, we'll take care of those boys. You know, we'll show them how to behave themselves. So, but that was changing. We're not under the law, but we're not under lawlessness either. You know, you can't do what you want to do. You know, people hear me preach the message of grace, and they get the idea you can do whatever you want to do. If that's what you think, you're wrong. You can't do whatever you want to do. There are rules and regulations that we have to follow. But those rules and regulations don't get us into or out of heaven. Those rules and regulations can't let us have a good life here on the earth. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's some things we're supposed to be doing. We didn't get saved to sit on the pews. You've heard that all your life if you've been in church. But that's a truism. That's true. There's something that we should be doing. There's lots of things that need to happen. We should be actively involved in the church. Now, it's new. The church is something that they had never seen before. And it says that this was a mystery that was hidden from people. They never saw it. In Ephesians 3:6, it says this. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promises of Christ Jesus. Who'd have thunk it? Who would have ever got that idea? Where in the world did God get that concept from? Of putting together these Gentile unbelievers and these Holy Ghost sort of Jews and build something brand new. God is in the business of doing new things. No wonder he said that when we become believers, it's like being born again. We're born again. We're born of the Spirit. Not of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. There's something that happens to a person who is born again, and it's very evident. We got these babies in this room, and you look at them. You can tell that they're born because they're there. You can see them. There's life. There's evidence that they exist. In the same way in the spirit realm, there should be evidence that you exist. There ought to be something, you know, that we can see about you in your life that says that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's no evidence of that, then there may be a reason to question whether or not you've got religion instead of Christianity. You might have got Judaism, so to speak, instead of getting Christ in your life. So it's important that we see evidence of Christ in your life. Now, I want to bring this to us today. I'm using the Gentiles and the Jews as a vehicle to bring you something that we need to hear, that we need right here. In many ways, when I reflect the New Beginnings Church, I sometimes wish I'd have started a Southern Baptist church or a Methodist church or a church that was already had a mainline denomination. It'd have been so much easier. They got books. It tells you what to do. All the rules are laid out. Do this, do that, don't do this. This is how you do it. This is what we do. But oh, no, not me. Oh, no, far be it for me to do such a thing. I had to start a non-denominational church. We don't have a rule book. I don't know what the rules are. You know, we're building as we go along. And that's a little disconcerting for some of you. You want to know what the rules are. And I'm kind of in the back room with some of these guys writing the rules. We don't know what the rules are yet. The only rule we're really sure about is if you've been through the new attendees class, you know some of the things that I believe and hold dear about Christ and the Word of God. But as far as how you do everything, there's no way for us to know how to do it because nobody's ever done what we're doing before. We're not even affiliated with anyone except Resurrection Life. And those of you who've been to Resurrection Life know they're out of control. They're worse than we are. I mean, they are really weird up there. I mean, I don't know what they do. I'm scared to go there sometimes. Never know what you may find. Because we don't have a rule book for us. The only book we got is the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And my mentor, the Lord James Hickman, who founded Resurrection Life and who was part of us founding this church, said that he would go to his grave proving that the Holy Spirit could build his church. And I thought that was great. That's what I'm going to do. Believe that the Holy Spirit can build the church. Now, he'll use us and use our ideas and our input and all the things that we have to contribute, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. We are doing something new, something that hasn't been done before. Can you imagine the kind of... How safe would you feel driving in a car that you built yourself? Probably not very safe, would you? No. You probably wouldn't have much resale value on it, would you? No, you kind of, it's something new. But I tell you what, most of us, before the advent of everything being made in China and shipped here, we used to have to make our own toys. You know, we used to make a skateboard. The way you made a skateboard is you took a pair of skates and you disassembled them, and you got some nails from the garage that your daddy had, and you nailed those babies to the bottom of it, and you had a skateboard. You know, that's the way we used to do it. We had to build it ourselves because nobody built it for us. And by the way, don't get mad at me, parents, but I'm not in favor of wearing all this apparatus that kids wear. They got to have knee pads, ankle pads, head pads, elbow pads, every kind of pads so they don't fall and hurt themselves. My goodness, let the kids hurt themselves. They're not going to die. You know, I got scars on my head. It didn't kill me. You know, it might have demented me a little bit. You know, I got them down here in my legs. I fell down, hurt myself. It did me good. I learned things not to do. I found better ways of doing it. But we overprotect the kids. And they think that life is a cocoon. They live in a cocoon. I'm going off the subject. But, you know, let me get away from that. That's another subject. I was in a meeting with Greg the other day, and we were talking about the church, and he said something I thought was just funny, but it's really scary. He said, man, you know, we got this weird group. We got Church of God people. We got Assemblies of God people. We got Church of Faith people. We got Southern Baptist people. We got Catholic people. Man, we got I don't know how we're going to knit this thing into a tapestry. I don't know. I mean, some of the stuff you believe that you've been brought up on, and, you know, we're trying to... And just to help things out, just so you know where I come from, I'm such a mess. My dear mom and dad, when they finally decided to go to church when I was just a little baby, they went to the Lutheran church. I remember going as a little boy, going to Lutheran Sunday school. You know, that's my first images of church. Well, we kind of fell away from that. That wasn't working. And then I ended up going to a Catholic church. My little neighbor boy went to the Catholic church, and I went with him, and I joined the Catholic church. Well, that didn't work. I couldn't keep all those rules. They finally threw me out of there. And, then I ended up going to the Methodist church, you know, for a while. And, boy, no reflection on the Methodists, but they didn't have a whole lot of stuff they, pressed you to do. I mean, they kind of just go with the flow, you know. And then I got saved. So just to mess things up, I went to a Southern Baptist church, all right? No. I went to a missionary Baptist church. They were so narrow-minded, they didn't believe that some of them were going to heaven. I mean, it was really weird, you know. And I was in that group for a while. Then I went to a Southern Baptist church went to a Southern Baptist seminary. And then after that wasn't working for me because I was speaking in other tongues. They didn't want to have me around. Then I ended up going to an Assembly of God church. And I went there for a bunch of years. And then I finally decided to start my own church. My goodness, I'm surprised that I even know how to do anything. You know, and you guys fit right in with me. I mean, you're from every background imaginable. So, and the reason I'm telling you about all this, don't get excited when things seem a little confusing. I mean, it's confusing to the Holy Ghost. He doesn't know what to do with this. I think he sits around sometimes scratching his head and saying, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with those guys down there at New Beginnings. They named that place right, New Beginnings, because, man, every day's a new day with them. You know, no telling where they may end up. What we need to do is we need to trust God. We need to put our faith in God and the Holy Spirit and believe that He's leading us. You know, I tell you this all the time, and some of you are new, and I guess today, we don't want a democracy around here. This is not a voting Baptist church. This is a theocracy where God speaks and we follow. And hopefully, you need to pray for me that I'm hearing. As a pastor of church, I need to hear from God. I need to know God's directing. And the only way I'm going to know that is you give me some peace so I can get some time with God. I feel like a fireman sometimes. I got the fire hose. I'm putting out fire. Stop that. By the way, I am declaring next week is a week of peace. You got problems, take them to somebody else, all right? We're taking the week off. We're going to have fun this week. We're going to be happy, all right? It's happy week for New Beginnings Church. Anybody gives you a problem, say, we're not taking problems this week. You got to wait till next week. This is going to be happy week. I'm tired. I need a break. And some of you need a break too. God has ordained this work to go on. God ordained it. When God told me to start this church, I said, God, the last thing Slidell needs is another church. I didn't think we needed one. But, you know, you ever try to talk to God sometimes? You know, sometimes He doesn't listen very well. You know, He just shuts up His ears. He's not listening to us and our complaints, you know, why we can't do things. You know, just go look at some of the guys in the Bible, like Moses. Well, I can't do that. You know, I don't speak very well. I don't want to do that. I just shut up, pick up your staff, go tell Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, God's not listening to our lame excuses of why we want to do things or don't want to do things, because God wants to do things through us. We get to be a part of it. God is ordaining our steps. All right. Second reason what happens when churches merge, everyone gets unsettled and confused. Woo-hoo. Acts chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. Same topic. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. Oh, that's a famous word, isn't it? Criticized him and said, you went into the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them. They were mad. They were upset. How could you do such a thing? When one person's in the boat, things are steady. You put a second person in the boat, things get unsteady in a hurry. I was thinking of an illustration I could give you about to help you with this. I mentioned my friend Jim Hickman. Jim Hickman was, we called him the big apostle. Not only was he an apostle, he was big. I mean, he was up around 450 pounds. I mean, he was a big boy, all right? But he liked to fish. And he had a buddy of his that wanted to take him fishing in his bass boat. And evidently, I didn't see the boat, but it wasn't a big bass boat, but it was, you know, a bass boat nonetheless. Well, Jim, as he tells the story, got in the boat and was sitting way in the back, all right? And the guy who was with him was sitting in the front, and they were trying to balance the weight, as you could well imagine, all right? Well, Jim said that they had pulled into the dock, and the guy who owned the boat got out of the boat before Jim could keep him from getting out. And he said the last words he remembers saying is, don't get out of the boat! Because when he got out of the front of the boat, 450 pounds of weight on the back of the boat, flipped that baby right over. He said, Jim went right out the back of the boat, and the boat flipped over. Said the only thing they could see was his hat floating on the water as he went overboard. You know, things happen. When you start unsteadying the boat, when you start visiting the Gentiles, you know, things are unsettled. The church had Jews, Gentiles, and problems along with it. It wasn't settled down. You know, just because God says something, that doesn't mean it's settled down in our lives. It takes us a learning process to get through it. They had to learn what God wanted done. Now, let me tell you how bad things were. The Jews wanted all the Gentiles to get circumcised. They wanted them to follow the law. They wanted them to eat lamb. They wanted them to wear beanies. I mean, they had a plan for these guys to, yeah, you Gentiles, don't come on to the church and we'll show you how it's done. Now, on the other side of this coin, Paul goes out, begins evangelizing. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he goes out and he's preaching the word to these people, telling them you're free in Christ, you're not under the law, you can do whatever you want. So the Gentiles, when they started showing up around the Jews, and the Jews showed up around them, they started killing pigs and eating pork. He said, we ought to have some pork sausage. It'd be good. You know, that'd be a nice thing to have. That's what the Gentiles wanted to do. They wanted to skip all those feast days. Man, we don't need to go to the temple. We didn't need all these feasts, you know. Now, forget about all that stuff. We just have fun, be happy. We're saved. Glory to God. We don't know what we're doing, but we're having a wonderful time. They were the modern-day Pentecostals. They were out of control. You know, they were just having fun, had the Spirit of God. Things were going good. There was no way they were in the circumcision business, you know. They said, no, you can do a lot of things. Circumcision is not on our list of things to do. Paul told us, we have our hearts circumcised. You know, that's about far enough for me to go, boys. So with this great turmoil about what they want done within the church, again, what an unlikely bunch to put together. You know, why would God choose this? I think God chose it to show what He could do. Fights broke out. Peter and Paul had verbal fights. Paul said, I confronted Peter to his face, you big hypocrite. You know, here you are eating food with all the Gentiles, having fun, got your shoes kicked off, having a good time. And a couple of boys from Jerusalem come around, and when they get here, you get holy all of a sudden. You know, you start getting respectable all of a sudden. Oh, I'm not eating any of that pork, and you got drippings on your cheek, you know, what you've been eating. And it was a big deal. It was a big confrontation. It was confrontational. But God had a plan. Paul knew that Judaism and hedonism had to die for a new work to begin. And I'm here to tell you that our old ways of doing things need to be died. They need to go away. We're doing something new. There's a new wave of the Holy Spirit in New Beginnings Church. God's breathing new life into us. And it is confusing. And it causes contentions. And I realize that. But we need to know about it. We need to understand that New Beginnings Church must change. We have no choice but to change. Not because I necessarily want change. It's because the Holy Spirit is ordained for us to do this. I believe we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You are here by divine commission. I've been praying for help and praying for you. I didn't even know your names when God began to bring you here to be a part of what God has in mind. We need to settle down. The only thing I want you shouting about is Jesus. All right? Need to have some fun around here and stop being so blooming cantankerous about things. You know? This is a fun time. This is a good time. And I know some of you are worried. What are we going to do with those Gentiles? What are we going to do with those Jews? What are we going to do with those people from this church? What are we going to do with those people from that church? What are we going to do with all these kids? Man, just kick back and relax and let the Holy Spirit do some work. You know? You got leadership in this church. We're trying to lead the church in a direction. Trust the leadership. We know. We're learning what we know. We're getting there. I was talking to Greg yesterday. Greg is asking me a bunch of questions, and I don't know the answer. I wrote an email to Wayne. I don't know if he saw it. I said, Wayne, we got to get together. I got to get, you know, me and you and Jim and Greg together because we don't understand what's on your mind. Of course, Joanne says, neither do I. I said, we're not doing nothing until I understand this. You know, I got my feet, you know, dug in. I need to get a better, he's got the vision, he's got the experience in doing these kinds of things, and I need to find out what's on his mind. I mean, he sees it, but I don't see it yet. But that's not a problem. That's just sausage being made, okay? You know, we're going to figure it out. It's going to be okay. When you smell that sweet aroma popping in a frying pan, you're going to love it. But we're in the process of doing things. By the way, I want to address an issue. Let me tell you what. I'm going to address this. Let me tell you what. Nobody wants my job. Wayne doesn't want to be the pastor of this church. Some of you think, oh, well, Wayne's taking over. He's going to be the pastor. Wayne don't want the job. He quit. He told me, I don't want to be the pastor of this church or any other church. I'm an evangelist. God's called me to be an evangelist, to go around the world to help churches, to build things up. Wayne, do you want this job? He's shaking his head no. And his wife's saying amen. Greg don't want to be the pastor of this church. Greg don't know what he wants. He's too young. All he knows is he wants his wife and babies. You know? Nobody's trying to get my job. Nobody wants my job. I was trying to think of a story to help you understand this. And I thought about an old story I heard a long time ago. I hope I get it right. There was some high school football game going on. And there went one team's kind of little guys, you know, kind of scrawny guys. And the other guy's big, mean, you know, state championship kind of guy. And they were killing this other team. I mean, they were just killing. They were tearing them out in stretches. The boys were just getting hurt. And they had a star running back on the bench. And people, some of the people in the congregation, I mean in the audience, wanted this guy to get in. And so they started hollering down the coach, hey, coach, put Leroy in the game. And, they just ignored him, and the game was kind of going on. The score was getting run up and getting run up. And it just suddenly began to chant, you know. He just said, you know, give Leroy the ball. Give the ball to Leroy. Give the ball to Leroy. And there was a big crescendo taking place. And finally the coach stood up and he grabbed the mic and he turned to the people. He said, I talked to Leroy. Leroy said he don't want the ball. Nobody wants the ball. The ball is with me. I am the pastor of the church. I hate to tell you that, but that's what you got. If you come here, you got me. You know, it's my job. It's what God called me to do. But I'm not so smart to think that I have all the answers. That's why I have men around me to help me to do things. Now, are they going to do it the way I would do it? No, because if I was doing it, I'd have done it. So it is, there are all these things that are happening, things that are being said that, we got the Gentiles and the Jews together, if you will, using that illustration for you. Things are being said sometimes that are misunderstood. You know, just don't let it worry you, okay? It's okay. Everything is mostly under control. Paul and Peter were not perfect. They had their issues. They had their misunderstandings. But you know what? They got the job done. They established a church. They put it on a firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And the work went on. And because of the work they did, you and I enjoy it to this very day. Because they knew God. They were following God. They were working it out. They were learning. And that's exactly what we're doing here. I will not, have not, and never intend to do everything right. It's just not going to happen. But I'm going to do the best I know how to do. And if you think that I'm doing something that's malicious, you've misunderstood me. I don't have a malicious bone in my body. Well, maybe one. But mostly I'm okay. You know, I see myself as a pussycat. I'm just too easy and too soft. I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Oh, yeah, this is too good not to tell. The fire, I mean, it's just been a week to forget about. And I had a meeting with Wayne and Joanne this week, and Wayne was really beat up about some things. And I just started laughing. I said, I'm so glad to see that you're beat up, because I didn't think anything would hurt you. You know, he's so strong. He's got a strong personality, you know. You probably, those of you who've been around, have figured out by now. He's a director. I think he should have been a general in something, you know. Do this, do that. Go here, go there. I mean, he's very good about doing that, you know. Hey, and it works. I've been trying to get people to come to a new attendees class for years now. I keep announcing it. Nobody shows up. Wait a second. You go to the new attendees class. I have 20-something people in here. Do what? Mandatory. You need to be here. You don't be here, you don't get to do nothing around here. Man, I wouldn't have said that. So if you got a sense of humor, you have to start laughing at it. You know, I'm tired of crying. I need to start laughing. So it's okay. We're not going to do everything right, but I promise you by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God that dwells in me, that I know that I know that I know. It's going to be all right.
Amen.
You know that song, just perfect, the Cherie, that the song you wrote. I've never been on this, like this cliff before, all right? Never been here. This is new turf, all right? We're like them little eaglets. Mama Eagle just says, bye, kids. Take a little fly off the cliff. So we're flying, all right? But it's okay. And by the way, for those of you who are new to us, and you're our guest here today, you say, what in the world's going on in that church? We're having fun, I'll tell you that. You're part of the fun. You being here. The glory of God, you know, bringing you here. Just awesome. Just awesome. And there's great things coming. More than you could possibly imagine. All right. The third thing I want to say is, God gets the glory. God gets the glory when unity begins. God gets the glory when unity begins. Let's look at Acts 11, 17, and 18. So if God gave them the same gifts as He gave us, okay, this is they're talking about what happened to these people who got baptized, these Gentiles who got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The same gift as He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Who was I to think that I could oppose what God was doing? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. They finally got their act together. They finally began to see. They finally began to understand that God was doing this. The light had finally dawned. You know what they came to the realization of? They had no place to go back to. There's no backing up. This train's going forward. We can't back up. Some who would say, well, let's go back to the way things used to be. There ain't no backing up. I don't know where we used to be anyway. I know that where we were is not nearly as much fun as where we are. And what God has planned for us. There are great things in store. They understood that God was doing this and that it was bigger than they were. This work is bigger than us as individuals. It's really bigger than us even as a collection. There's something awesome going on. Now, I need to tell you, and I've said this before, it's not going to happen just because I'm preaching a sermon about it. It's happening because we put our shoulders to the wheel, our hands to the plow, and we do the work that needs to be done. And we're going to have to collectively do it together. We're going to have to learn to get along with each other. We're going to have to swallow our ideas and our own pride and our own way of doing things and just all grab together. We had a great illustration, locking arms, as you just said, Cherie. Locking arms together, locking hearts together to do the work that's been done. You can't quit, all right? There is no resignation. Say, well, I'm going to quit that church. You can't quit because you don't have any membership here. I'm not going to be a member of that church anymore. Well, you don't get to be a member because we don't have any membership. By design. Amen. And you can go someplace else, but you will cry one day. You will weep and lament. You know, you'll be at some other church in this town or another town, and when you see what God is doing, you'll say, man, I could have been a part of that move of the Holy Spirit. But oh no, I had to run away because I got my feelings hurt and somebody ruffled my feathers. Somebody petted the cat the wrong direction. Just stick with it. I promise you, it's worth the effort. We have an adversary who has decided to stop this work. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to let the devil, any demon from hell, any person, or anyone else come into this place and stop what God is doing. This is my moment in time. It's your moment in time. This is what God has ordained us to do. And we are going to be the church of the living God that reaches out into this community and throughout the world as God gives us the means to do it. And I'm putting everyone on notice. Spiritual, physical, wherever they may be, that this work goes on because God has called me to do it. And when I die, I'll die in this pulpit saying the same thing. And I want every one of you to be with me. Those of you that have been with me for a while, I love the stew out of you. I had so much fun meeting with some of you yesterday. And I told you some things about the way I feel about you. You're in my heart. And you new folks, I'm just so excited to meet you. New ideas, new faces, new people coming in. I want to get to know you better. I'm so glad we're still small enough for me to know you and see you and recognize you. There'll come a day where I won't be able to do it as easy. We'll have to make other plans for you to get to meet with me. But I promise you, you can get to know me. Whoever comes here is going to get to know me. I'm a likable guy. I was in seminary. I had a seminary professor. And he made that audacious statement. He said, you know, you ought to get to know me. I'm a heck of a nice guy. What kind of person would say something like that? But it really, you know, really stirred me. You know, I challenged me. So I decided I'd get to know the guy. And I went to his office and I knocked on his door and I introduced myself to him. And I said, you said that you are a nice guy and I want to see if you're telling the truth. Came one of my best friends at seminary. He was a splendid guy. Just loved the Lord, loved people. He's a great guy. And I'll tell you, I'm the same way. I'm a nice guy, aren't I, Pat?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I'm the man, she said. I love it. But I want to get to know people. I want people to get to know me. You know? God's given me a gift and a message and a heart that's open to love people. Sometimes somebody will say something about, you know, how do you do that? And say, because I'm the pastor of the church. That's how I do that. I got the grace of God to do what I do. You know? That doesn't mean I don't cry and lament and beat my fist on the floor with God. It just means that I'm called by God to do this and I wouldn't want to do anything else other than what I'm doing right now. My daughter's worried about me. She said, I talked to her this week and I told her that I had this marathon counseling with people all day yesterday and I was going to preach today. And she said, well, Daddy, you know, you had that open heart surgery a couple of years ago and you only got one arm, you know. You're getting old. And, you know, you have to take it easy. I don't want to lose my daddy. You ain't going to lose your daddy because of me doing this. It ain't going to happen. I did have a little heart palpitation this week. That's true. Nothing I couldn't handle. I love what I'm doing, friends. And I love the mission that God has given us. And I'm excited about what God's doing. More and more of these chairs are filling. I hope pretty soon I don't get to see any more red in here. I want to see yellow and black and white, you know, and shades of color. But I don't want to see those blooming chairs. I want to see you in the clothes that you wear. I want the place filled up. I want us crying because we don't have enough room. We're starting to get there. The church was birthed in this passage of Scripture that we just read where they finally unified. They said, yeah, this is what God's doing. And I like it. It's different. I never ate this kind of sausage before, but I like it. You know, hadn't been here before, but I like it. It's got power. It's got might. It's got lives being changed. Miracles taking place. If God is not in what we're doing, it will crumble to the ground. It'll be dust under our feet. Nobody will ever remember it. But if God is in it, no one in heaven or hell can stop what God's doing. I happen to believe God's in it. I believe that with all my heart. We unify by trusting God, believing God has called us to do this. We unify by trusting the pastor. You got to have faith in me, folks. You got to trust me, all right? You got to trust me that I'm going to do the best I know how to do. And I'm asking you to trust me on this, okay? Got to trust the leadership. Got to trust the people I've put around me, all right, to help me do this work. I can't do it myself. It's obvious I can't do it myself. But since I've got some help, things are starting to happen, all right? Things are different. But it's only the beginning of differentness. There can be a lot of different things. But that's the fun of it. It's a kaleidoscope. It's not just one color of black or white or red or green or blue. It's a kaleidoscope of colors. And that's the way God is. Look at the creation around us. You'll see the kaleidoscope of God's glory. We unify by putting our hands to the plow and never look back. Never look back. Don't look back. I love when Jesus had talked about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, and people didn't like it. They said, no, it's not for me. And they turned and they walked away. And I could almost see it in my mind's eye as Jesus turned to his guys and said, are you going to leave too? You know, is it too much for you? Are you going to bail out now? You know, is this it for you? Is this the moment of truth? And their response were, where could we go? We've left everything to follow you. That's what I'm asking of you. Leave everything and let's follow the Lord and what he's called us to do. I believe that you will see the glory of God manifest all around us. Amen? Let's stand. Let me ask you a couple of questions as I close. Are you kind of like those Jews? Kind of been following the rules and the regulations and, you know, all the things that they told you and taught you that this was the right way. And, you know, you just kind of bound yourself up in some kind of legalism. You know, that you got to have it this way. Is that you this morning? Have you been dealing with that? Not wanting to let go of the grip on things that you had? It's time to turn it loose. I want you to turn those things loose. Just forget about it. It's not necessarily that those things are wrong. It's just not where God's going right now. God was building a church. It's time for the Jews to leave Judaism behind. But if God's building something new here, it's time for us to leave some things behind. Just turn loose of those things. Your personal life. If you think and if you believe that you're going to earn some kind of status with God because of the things that you're doing, it's not about that. It's about your faith in God. It's about your trust in God. It's about putting everything you are on the line with Him. Being like, I believe it was Joshua said, or it might have been Caleb. He said, it's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's where you need to be. Let those things go. You know, forgetting those things which are behind, Paul said, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I want you to do. I want you to press on with me. I want you to join with me in doing the work that God's called us to do. But you kind of like those Gentiles, just kind of living outside the promises, just ignored the promises of God. God has great promises for you. He wants to pour out blessings upon you that you cannot contain. He wants to open the windows of heaven. Are you living, not believing? Saying, well, I don't know if that's for me. You know, Pastor, you know, you preach this sermon, but, you know, where I've been and what I've done, man, there's no way God's going to let me be a part of what's going on here. If that's what you're thinking, you're wrong. You're just like those Gentiles. You need to be like them. You need to shake off those old ways and those old things. Leave those ungodly things behind you and come on into the kingdom. Come on into where God is, where God wants you to be. There's a song that we're going to learn to sing around here and do. It's called, There's Room at the Cross for You. There's room for you where you can come. When we established this church, the Lord gave me that message that's all over this place. It's on the side, the sign outside. It says, come home. Not my home, His home. Because everything is forgiven. You don't have to live like you Gentiles and sin any longer. You can get away from that. Move away from it. Old ways and old patterns that don't work. They won't work for you. I invite you to be like Cornelius. Cornelius did. And when he heard the truth, he joined in. And when he joined in, the magnificence of God enveloped that place, and the Holy Spirit fell on that place. And those people were so dynamically changed that people who hated them The Jews hated the Gentiles. Peter was ridiculed for bringing it, going to a Gentile house. And when they saw what God could do in the life of an unbeliever, they said, not they, they said, could we hinder them from joining in with us in baptism and being a part of what we're doing when we saw the glory of God fall upon them? You want the glory of God to fall on you? This is the time. This is the place. If you're here this morning and you feel that you want to step out to God, you know, some of you have already made your commitment. Some of you maybe haven't made that commitment. And you want to bring Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come down here where I am. If you're here this morning and you want to give a fresh commitment to the Lord to do what God has called you to do individually and to put your heart and your mind and your spirit in this place with us, I want you to come down here. As the Lord moves you, as His wains play, I want you to come right now. Just come on. You feel led. If you want to make a new commitment to the work that God's called us to do, I want you to come. Just come on. New commitments. I know some of you made commitments, but just going to just seal it for you. You want to come. Anyway, we'll wait.